From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, starting from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, we will play Indonesian songs. Well, listener, I will begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz, 4750 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Bornean students learn by radio during pandemic. State electricity company will free thousands of medium and small enterprises bills for 6 months. Now the news in details. Elementary school teachers in Sanggau Regency West Kalimantan, an Indonesian province on the island of Borneo that borders Malaysia, are using state radio broadcast by RRI to reach students in their homes during the COVID-19 pandemic. As quoted by the JakartaPost.com, a teacher, Titis Kartikawati, in a video conference on National Education Day on May 2nd said that many areas had blank spots, a term used to describe places that don't have access to internet. They have various geographic conditions in Sanggau, and not all areas have internet. Schools nationwide have been closed since March 15, and students have been instructed to learn from home to contain the spread of the coronavirus. Students who live in areas where the internet is readily accessible learn from their teachers through virtual meetings or recorded videos. The school is cooperating with national radio broadcaster RRI to provide an hour-long educational program for which the teachers provide the content. From Monday to Friday, the teachers give all the materials through the broadcast. She also said the students were able to access the radio broadcast and teachers were able to spend less money because they did not have to buy additional internet data to cover internet uploads. Central Unit Electricity of the South, Southeast and West Sulawesi will exempt 5,490 customers from the micro, small and medium enterprises in their working areas. The MSMEs referred to are 450 volt ampere small business customers B1 with a total of 5,488 customers and small industries customers 11 with 450 volt ampere of 2 customers. The general manager of the Central Unit Electricity of the South, Southeast and West Sulawesi, Ismail Du, in the written statement said that the program, in line with government policy to expand the People's Protection Program affected by COVID-19 and South economic recovery, especially the MSME sector. The Bali administration has made the decision to expand the area of lockdown from one of 3 hamlets in Ambon Village, Bangli Regency, to the entire village. The decision was made after rapid tests indicated it was probable that hundreds of its residents were infected by the coronavirus. All the villagers are required to stay at home but will be provided meals 3 times a day. The decision to isolate the whole village, home to 2,640 residents, was made on Friday. As quoted by the JakartaPost.com, the Bali Provincial's COVID-19 Task Force team took 1,200 blood samples from residents of the hamlet on Thursday, of which more than 400 returned reactive results after rapid tests. More than 10,000 migrant workers have reportedly returned to the island since March. It is estimated that around 20,000 Balinese are working abroad, mostly in tourism as crew members of cruise ships. Floods have submerged 21,888 homes in 5 sub-districts of Bandung District, West Java, since April 30, affecting some 81,000 or 25,000 families, according to the data from the West Java Disaster Mitigation Office. The flood-affected sub-districts are Dayakolot, Balai Endah, Arjasari. Floodwaters have also entered 46 schools, 96 places of worship, and 27 public facilities. Meanwhile, floods triggering by the overflowing of Barito River have submerged 8 of the 9 sub-districts in North Barito District, Central Kalimantan. As quoted by Antara, the Disaster Mitigation Office BPBD of North Barito notified that flooding causing by the spilling over the Barito River has affected at least 1,000 residents. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. As part of the gradual easing of circuit breaker measures, schools in Singapore will start to bring back students in small groups for face-to-face lessons from May 19. Minister of National Development of Singapore, Lawrence Wong, said they will focus initially on the graduating cohort that are taking national exams. Priority will also be given to those who need additional support during the school holidays, which will begin this year in May instead of June. However, to reopening of premises, the key requirements have to be put in place, and that is much stricter guidelines and requirements for safe management within the workplaces. The students come and will be kept separated groups within their cohorts. Malaysian's authorities on Saturday defended plans to ease coronavirus lockdowns measures next week, even as the number of new infections jumped to a 2-week high. Most businesses will reopen on Monday after a 6-week shutdown order to fight the COVID-19 outbreak. Schools, cinemas, and nightclubs will remain closed, along with the country's borders, and mass gatherings will still be banned. The number of known infections totaled 6,176, while fatalities stood at 103. Security Minister Ismail Sabri said Malaysia was not being hasty in relaxing the curbs, stressing that businesses reopening on Monday will have to implement hygiene and social distancing measures. Telecommunications satellites Express 80 and Express 103 will be launched on July 30. The Proton-M carrier rocket needed for the launch will be repaired by June, a space industry source said. The repair schedule at the Khrunichev State Research and Production Space Center stipulates sending the Proton-M to the Baikonur Cosmodrome at the start of the summer. In April, the Proton-M heavy lift launches vehicles designated for launching satellites from the Baikonur Cosmodrome were returned to the Khrunichev Center in Moscow. According to the Russian satellite communication company, the Express 103 satellite is designed to provide a package of communication service, such as digital TV, telephone, video conferencing, data transmissions, internet access, and to deploy satellite networks by applying VSAT technology. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news analysis for today entitling Coronavirus, Rush for Haircuts, Jog as Lockdown Loosens. Some European countries and several states in the United States began to easing coronavirus restrictions. After months under stay-at-home strict measures, some governments allow some small businesses to reopen. Food joints, gyms, tattoo parlors, and hair salons among the first businesses to run again. Other businesses, including beauticians, dentists and opticians, are now permitted to reopen. Driving lessons are also allowed. Each has new health guidelines to follow. One of the barbershop's owner in Copenhagen said, "They are very busy and fully booked for the next 2 weeks." The booking system even crashed because it was flooded with inquiries. Another hairdresser said she is fully booked for the next 3 weeks and will work extended hours to meet demand. There are a lot of extra works to do because they have to do a cleanup between every client, sanitizing each stations, the tools, everything from the doorknob to the credit card reader. In Spain, one of the countries hit hardest by COVID-19's outbreaks, and imposed a strict lockdown in March. The government allowed the fellow citizens to exercise outdoors this weekend. After 49 days of lockdowns, joggers, cyclists, surfers across Spain hurried out their homes on May 2nd. But the parks remained shut. Health officials said the idea is to let people exercise, not to socialize in groups. In South Africans, jogging is the first choice after government slightly easing the tough lockdown restriction by taking to the streets to get exercise. 5 weeks ago, the government imposed strict measures, including a ban on jogging, cycling, and dog walking, to try and contain the spread of coronavirus. People are now allowed to go out to exercise between 6 and 9 a.m., but only a few kilometers from their home. The World Health Organization said on Friday that countries must lift lockdowns gradually, while being ready to restore restriction if the virus jumps back. To avoid overcrowding as people get outside, the government has implemented a shift system, allocating different time slots to different age groups. Businesses that operate by appointment, such as hairdresser, will be allowed to open. Bars and restaurants will remain closed for at least another week. There are reasons to open small business first, after strict measures relax, mostly to help the battered economy caused by pandemic. Small business, relatively easy to maintain social distancing, and the nature of their business is considered in people well-being, the most people need after stay at home for weeks. I'm Nico Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back, listener. Here is highlight of the week, entitled Presidential's Directive to Meet the Basic Needs of the People. The World Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, recently warned that the COVID-19 pandemic could cause a world food crisis. Regarding the warning, President Joko Widodo, in the limited cabinet meeting at Bogor Palace on Tuesday, discussed anticipatory steps that must be taken in order to meet the basic needs of the people. Quoted from the pages of the Cabinet Secretariat, President Jokowi delivered 4 directives related to these anticipatory steps. First, the president wants a quick count of basic needs in each region and province. He asked related ministries to calculate which provinces are surplus or deficit, and how much is their production. He cited that calculations of staples such as rice, cooking oil, sugar, and garlic. In the second directive, the president asked his ministers to ensure that the distribution is smooth and correct so that those that have a deficit of basic needs can be supplied from surplus regions. Therefore, transportation of food, distributions between provinces, regions, and islands should not be disrupted. The third directive is on rice management. He said the rice management in the country was an important key for the anticipations and mitigation of the food crisis mentioned by the FAO. Therefore, the president asked his ministers to once again calculate in details regarding the availability of stocks. He also warned them to anticipate the possibilities of a long drought in 2020, although the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency did not predict the existence of extreme weather. The fourth directive is to ensure farmers can plant and harvest so food production continues to run normally. According to the president, the COVID-19 situation could be used as a momentum to reform the food sector policy on a large scale. The president reminded that Indonesia should not lose this momentum, but he also stressed that it should be done by implementing good health protocols and economic stimulus programs that reach farmers. Listener, that was highlight of the week. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
I'll begin with my third 1937. The novel Gone with the Wind wins the Pulitzer Award. Gone with the Wind is an American novel by Margaret Mitchell that was published in 1936 and won the Pulitzer Prize in 1937. It is one of the most popular novels of all time, and its widescreen adaptation, released in 1939, broke the record number of Oscars. Mitchell's work tells the story of a rebellious soul woman from Georgia named Scarlett O'Hara and her relationship with friends, family, and lovers in the midst of the U.S. Civil War and the Reconstruction period. Turning to May 3, 1985, Indonesian boxer Elias Pikal won the IBF World Boxing title. Elias Pikal was born in Ulat, Saparua, Central Maluku on March 24, 1960. He was a boxer who became the first world champion from Indonesia. He won the International Boxing Federation or IBF Junior Bantam Class or Super Flying Class title from Korean boxer Chun Joo Do in Jakarta on May 3, 1985. I'll conclude with May 3, 1993. World Press Freedom Day is set. In 1993, the General Assembly of the United Nations established May 3rd as a day to commemorate the basic principles of press freedom in order to measure press freedom throughout the world. Since then, May 3rd has been commemorated in order to maintain media freedom from attacks and pay homage to the journalists who died in carrying out their profession. And listener, that was today in history.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Kalab Abbas in Pakistan. He was listening to our broadcast in Mandarin program through streaming. He told that the program was very clear without any interference. Hello, Mr. Kalab Abbas. Thank you for your attention on our broadcast. Your email has been forwarded to the Mandarin section. Please be patient to the reply. Thank you. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. So keep listening to Voice of Indonesia and send your next reception report. Here is the song.
Jika kau adalah waktu, aku berharap engkau kembali. Meski waktu tak mau mengerti tentang perasaan. Jika kau adalah mentari, sinari hatiku ini. Jika kau tulus mencintai aku apa adanya. Memang
You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia, entitled Virtual Running to be a New Lifestyle. COS, an Indonesian private company that organizes virtual sports, hopes that virtual or online running activities can become a new healthy lifestyle trend for people in the country. Virtual Run is a running sport that is carried out anywhere, on the street, jogging tracks, treadmills, trail tracks, or even during race events. Participants can join the event and get a medal and running equipment without having to go to a specific city and only do it in their home or city online. COS, a co-founder and CEO Enrico Hugo, said the trend of virtual running has begun for the past 4 or 5 years in several countries in the Southeast Asian region, especially in Singapore. With a virtual run, according to him, people throughout Indonesia can participate without any place or time restrictions because the run can be carried out anywhere and at any time during the activity period. He hopes that these activities can bring a positive impact as well as making virtual run as one of the new healthy lifestyle trends for people in Indonesia. Meanwhile, another COS co-founder and chief financial officer, Nicholas Ng, said that virtual running is now not only a sporting event, but also used as an arena to foster sensitivities and care for those in need. For example, there are Run for Cancer and Run for Alzheimer's events to donate, share, or do charity. Last year, COS held a virtual run with the theme of Run to Empower 2019, aimed at increasing public awareness of people with disabilities. From the activity, a donation of around 74 million rupiah has been collected and was used to hold 3 disabilities-themed seminars. Nicholas Ng said his company will try to continue to consistently hold virtual run activities by raising themes or issues concerning humanity. This activity is not just a virtual run, but also charity run or run while donating. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusmawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we'll reply an email from our listener Malik Alabashaya in Pakistan. He was listening to our program in English. Hello, Mr. Malik Alabashaya. Thank you for listening to our programs. Hope you are fine as well as your family and friends. We are really sorry to say that the promotion tools are not available now. Keep listening and stay healthy. Special for you, here is another beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Kamu hati ini berbunyi.
RRI was office Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia, where the majority of its population are Muslims, is now entering the month of Ramadan or the fasting month, where Muslims are prohibited from eating and drinking from sunrise to sunset for 30 full days. In this edition of Indonesian Wonder, I will introduce bubur kampiun, a culinary from West Sumatra, which is popular food for iftar or fast breaking. Kampiun or kampiun porridge consists of a mixture of several kinds of porridge which blends to produce a soft and sweet taste. They are, among others, steamed white sticky rice powder porridge, black sticky rice porridge, banana or sweet potato compote, green bean porridge, and some others. The mixture is then poured with coconut milk and topped with liquid brown sugar. In West Sumatra, bubur kampiun is usually called the bubua kampiun. According to the story, the origin of the name of this porridge is quite unique. After the 1958 to 1961 uprising in the region was over, some traditional leaders held various events to heal the trauma of the residents, such as a kite competition and porridge making contest. One of the participants in the porridge creation contest was a grandmother who sold a variety of porridge every day. Because she was late coming to the event, she could not make proper porridge for the contest. Then she came up with the idea to arrange all the remaining porridge she sold on a bowl and presented it as her creation. At the end of the contest, the jury announced that the grandmother's porridge was the champion. When asked what the name of her porridge is, the grandmother spontaneously named it bubua kampiun, literally means champion porridge. Since then, the mixed porridge gained popularity and became popular food for iftar or fast breaking. Kampiun traders usually cook various mixtures of porridge since early morning. All ingredients are cooked simultaneously in different pans. To make complete kampiun porridge, there are at least 6 types of cooked ingredients, so it requires special skills to obtain the expected results. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow, we will meet again in another topic. See you next time.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Now we reply an email from our listener, Enrique Brea Pere, in Spain. He was listening to our program in Spanish. Hello, Mr. Enrique. Thank you for your reception report. Your email has been forwarded to Spanish section. Please be patient to the reply. Thank you. As appreciation, we'll play another beautiful song. Here is the song.
Here is Miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Miscellany. This edition is on coffee can be an attraction of Indonesian tourism. So stay tuned to www.voinews.id. Indonesia is currently one of the fourth largest coffee producers in the world after Brazil, Vietnam, and Colombia. With this potential, coffee can be made and developed as a tourist attraction. Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Wisnu Tama, some time ago in an online talk show, said Indonesia can learn from other countries that have developed similar potentials, like France and Australia that have made wineries not only to sell the wine for economic purposes, but also as a tourist attraction. They developed wine plantations or vineyard into a resort. According to the minister, Indonesia can also make a coffee plantation into a resort. There are a lot of coffee plantations scattered in various regions in Indonesia, which can become an attraction for tourists. Coffee plantations, he said, are no less attractive than wineries. Coffee culture itself can be developed into a tourist destination. With a note, businesses can manage and produce coffee that is unique and special. The minister said this was a challenge for coffee businesses to be able to maintain and meet quality standards. Wisnu Tama believes coffee will become an extraordinary tourism potential. And listener, that was Miscellany for today.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today we'll present you a religious song by Nata Reza. Nata Reza began to known since releasing his first single titled Kekasih Impian. Then he released a religious pop song on May 7, 2019. Through this song, Nata Reza showed his quality as a singer. The song is Andai Ku Tahu, which was previously popularized by Ungu Band in 2008. The Nata Reza's version of the song Andai Ku Tahu has a more fresh and modern arrangement of music. The lyrics of this song remind us about that death is always close to, whereas we as human beings are always close to sin, so repent immediately before we end. Listener, here is the song Andai Ku Tahu by Nata Reza.
Andai ku tahu kapan tiba ajalku, ku akan memohon Tuhan tolong panjangkan umurku. Andai ku tahu kapan tiba masa
Dari segala dosa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Akankah dirimu tahu bahwa ku sembunyikan rasa itu? Aku berharap kau jadi kekasihku. Oh, 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 oh. Tapi hati tak tahu dan tak mau tahu. Hei, kamu sadarilah bila diriku sungguh jatuh cinta pada dirimu. Oh, oh, aku terlambat, terlambat untuk katakan aku suka pada dirimu. Cinta pada yang lain dan lupakan diriku. Oh, 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 aku terlambat, terlambat untuk katakan aku suka pada dirimu. Kini kau telah jatuh cinta pada yang lain dan lupakan diriku. Aku
of Indonesia.
Warnai bintang di jiwa.
For me to sign off now. Keep listening to our program at www.voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions and 4750 kHz for European regions. Don't forget to check out our Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Also, send your reception report to VOI at voinews.id. I'm Putri Safitri Adala. See you on the next English program.